a bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz in our studio in the beautiful city of La Paz, Baja California, sir. And we've got a little triangle going now, Grizz. We've got California, we've got La Paz, and if you kind of draw the other end of the triangle, that would take us all the way to Montauk. And we have Carl on the line with us right now. And Carl, I'd like to find out a little bit about, of course, about Montauk and what the fishing's like there, and in particular about the shark a tournament that's coming up. So, you know, we've got about another 8 minutes or so, and I think we can cover that pretty well. So, first of all, Carl, why don't you introduce yourself real quick and tell us about the area you fish in.
Okay, that's what I sure can. My name is Carl Derenberg. I'm the owner and operator of Montauk Marine Basin here on Long Island, the very, very eastern tip of Long Island. We are surrounded by water, the Atlantic Ocean to the south and the Rock Island Sound to the north. And it's considered one of the greatest fishing capitals of the world. There's all kinds of fish being caught here all year long. One of the biggest, of course, are the sharks. They come in here early part of May and June and stay here until October. So we're going to be looking for those. This is the first no-kill shark tournament called Shark Eyes ever done on the East Coast of U.S.
Well, I think Grizz is going to like the sound of that.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's time. It's time. Thank God for it that we got catch and release on those poor sharks. Fantastic. Congratulations, Carl. What type of sharks do you have over there?
We basically catch threshers, blue sharks. Makos are our three basic sharks. However, there are hammerheads here. There are great white sharks here. There are tiger sharks here sometimes, brown sharks, poor beagles. So there's quite a amount of sharks that are available to the fishermen off of Montauk Point.
Carl, let me digress just for a second and talk about sharks and maybe even big game. It's, you know, for centuries and centuries, you know, the great white hunter, they go out and, you know, kill these, you know, the biggest, baddest animals they could find and fish. And there's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, pride in catching big fish, and of course the big sharks, and a lot of people think that they're evil. In Southern California, we have a problem with seals, and I don't know if you heard about it. About a month ago, I guess it is now, someone pulled in a 1,200-pound mako. And it looks like it may be a record. I don't know. I haven't heard back from it yet. But one of the problems with bringing that in is that in its stomach was a seal. Now,
oh, wow.
You know,
that's great.
Well, yeah, that part.
Seals in its
okay,
stomach.
Well, we won't go there, Grizz. The point is they do. There is a place in nature for them in killing those big ones in particular. Another thought, too, is about, you know, I was talking to somebody about in Alaska, is that when you kill the biggest fish, it doesn't do a lot for their gene pool because those are the ones that you want to reproduce because they get that big. So,
well, bear in mind that the a mako does not mature until it's almost 600 pounds. So when you're catching a 100-pound mako for the barbecue pit on a Saturday afternoon, you're killing the potential of having an animal that will mature at 600 pounds or more. And people don't realize I realize that they taste good and the small ones taste the best, but quite frankly, that's probably why we're killing the breed off, because people are killing these small sharks and they're not able to mature.
Mm-hmm. So when do they start reproducing?
600 pounds.
Whoa. And about,
yeah, that's the trouble. That's people don't realize that.
Whoa. How long does it take to reach that?
I'm sorry?
About how long does it take?
I'm not sure. I should read up on that, tell you the truth.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to catch you there, but obviously it's more than a couple of years.
Well, without a doubt. It's probably more like 10 years or 12 years for sure.
Right. Well,
without a doubt, that's
very interesting.
And you know, John, excuse me for interrupting, but talking about seals and sharks, the people are killing so many sharks off that there's no natural predators for the seals. Well, they're not actually seals. Most of them are sea lions. And we are completely covered up with them down here in Cabo and East Cape. They're just becoming so many of them, you cannot even bring a fish in without a seal taking it from you. And the reason of that, not trying to be a nasty, mean person, is because everybody's killing the sharks. The shark should be controlling the population of the seals, the sea lions, and that thing. That's their favorite food. Am I not right there, Carl?
Oh, definitely so. Definitely so. Even the big great white sharks love seals, believe it or not. The white sharks go up north in Cape Cod and seek the seals in the fall, September and October. As a matter of fact, there was a great white called the Mary Lee that was GPS tagged September of 2012. And that fish is still traveling. You can see that fish on oaksearch.com. It's amazing how far those fish travel in 1 year.
Hmm. No, well, it's incredible.
Well,
yeah, we're gonna be tagging a white, hopefully a blue shark, a mako, and a thresher in our Shark Eye tournament, and have an oaksearch trace or track these fish with GPS tags. That's part of our tournament, is to tag three GPS tagged fish so people can trace them and track them throughout the year.
Carl, let's talk a little bit about the tournament itself. Now, Guy Harvey, you know, obviously world famous, the artist, and I believe AFCO is involved in this also, aren't they?
That is correct. AFCO is involved for sure. Mustad's involved. The Fishing Conservation Foundation is involved. NOAA Fisheries is involved. And of course, Guy Harvey. Also, Moat is involved. Moat Marine is involved. We have several scientists coming over here. Nancy Kohler from the National Marine Fisheries in Narragansett, and Mr. Scopel from the Rhode Island.
Okay. Now, if somebody wants to get involved in that, give us a quick idea how that can happen.
They can give us a call here at my phone number, 631-668-5900, or send us a email at yachts@optonline.net.
You better repeat that one.
Yachts@optonline.net.
We also have
a website set up, www.sharkseyetournament.com.
That's an easy one. Let's go with that. Sharkseyetournament.com.
And, that's correct.
You know, real quickly, how many people, how much it cost?
We're limiting it to 25 boats. The entry fee is $9.50, which includes a cocktail party, kickoff cocktail party on Friday night. On Saturday and Sunday, we're going to have a whole host of bands playing throughout the Montauk area. We're also going to have a whole bunch of educational stuff on our tent here on the property, talking about educating the public of what the sharks are all about. You know,
that's
we're going to have the shark brothers, the Paxton boys, are going to be up here running the show for us. And you're going to have a bunch of other people here under our tent. We're going to have videos going on throughout the day. So it looks like it's going to be a very exciting two-day event for us.
Well, Carl, it sounds like a great time to toward the end of July. What's the date?
The date for the tournament is basically July 27th and 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Our kickoff party is on Friday the 26th.
Okay. Well, even if you don't want to go shark fishing, that sounds like a great time and you can watch the action. Now, if you do want to go and you don't have a boat to drag over there, is it possible that you could fix somebody up?
By all means, that's correct. Not a problem at all.
Okay. And that would, of course, be at the Montauk Marina.
Yes, Montauk Renovation, 426 Westlake Drive,
wow.
Montauk, New York.
Carl, that was fascinating. This is not a subject that we've talked about before, and I think that we're all learning more and more. And, you know, those things might be fearsome, but they certainly are helping out the ocean. So let's not kill them off. Carl,
we
appreciate that very much, and we'll try and get back with you again before the end of July.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Carl.
Hey, great fishing. Thank you.
Grizz, that was fascinating, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, I love sharks. Really do. Especially threshers and makos.
Okay.
How they shoot out of the water. They shoot out of the water and jump just like a marlin sometimes.
Oh, yeah. No, they're fascinating. And, you know, if you want to, you know, take a thresher or a mako, they do make good table fare. But let's try and keep them in the water. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is Fish Talk Radio with John Hennigan and the Grizz. We're going to be right back, and we're going to be talking to, I think, Mark about bass fishing. So stay tuned.
Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040, 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cochuma Boat Rentals, for a day to remember.
Strike baits catch more fish. Formulated from years of research and development, our dough baits trigger the instincts of fish to strike. Packaged to eliminate air that drives the bait out, the tube means you never have to put your finger in the bait. One squeeze loads your hook with state-of-the-art attractants for even the most elusive trout. Engineered and made in the USA, visit strikebaits.com. Strike baits, the next generation of trout baits.
Bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have with us the co-host, The Grizz, from La Paz. And Wimby, we'll talk a little bit about ASOB Online, Adventure South of the Border Online, his new website. It's awesome, Grizz. I like
that. Thank you so much.
But anyway,
I appreciate it.
We don't want to take time away from Mark because we're on a tight schedule right now. Mark, let's talk about summer bass fishing.
But you know, summer bass fishing is just it's just the most wonderful fishing sport there is, because you can catch them, you know, all year using a plethora of different methods. But the great thing about summer is that the metabolism's up, the fishing's usually is great, and you can almost catch them however you want. You know, there's two schools of thought for summer bass. One is shallow, and the other is deep. So if you're looking for fish, you know, between 5 and 15 feet, you know, that's probably not where you're going to find them. They're going to be, you know, 15 to 30 feet deep, or they're going to be 5 foot or shallower. So if you're looking for the shallow bass, you're going to look for shade or vegetation. So mm-hmm. if you're fishing a lake that has, like a lot of docks or a lot of weeds, I mean, that's probably one of the perfect shallow water fisheries. So, and you know, this time of year, there's just a ton of different ways to catch them. Generally, in the morning, in the summertime, you want to throw some top water, some fast-moving baits, because these fish are up, they're up shallow, they're feeding, and they're pretty aggressive. As the day moves on and it gets a little hotter, the fish kind of slow down. There's a group of fish that go out deep on the edges and ledges, on the points, you know, out in the main channels. And then there's another group of fish, like we talked about, that are up shallow in the vegetation. They like the shade lines. Docks, shallow structure, and there's a lot of different ways to catch them there also. If you like using the heavy-duty method, you can use like a big heavy weight, we call it punching, with a cross-style plastic, and you can get it right into the vegetation. But if you're a guy that's not familiar with that, you can use a spinning rod and, you know, use a small worm, a Senko, a small Texas rig, and you can pitch it up under the docks and work it slow. One of the key is to get it either around vegetation or around shade. If your lake doesn't have that, if you're a lake like around like Lake Mead or some of the desert lakes, you're going to want to go out offshore and fish a little bit deeper. Still look for that shade line, but you're going to want to fish a little deeper.
And first of all, when we were in a rush to get you on the air, we didn't mention that you also are the editor of Bass Angler Magazine, and I believe it's Bass Angler, BassAnglerMag.com.
Or you can go to BASSMAG.com.
So. Okay. Well, if anybody wants to go there, we can do that. And your new issue, I guess, is just out, so you get time to go fishing. One quick comment, Mark, is that bass fishing is probably the most, how should I phrase this? There are a lot more professional bass anglers and bass tournaments there are of almost anything else combined. There's rainbows are almost everywhere, but you don't find a lot of rainbow trout tournaments by professional anglers. And also bass, other than, you know, maybe Alaska, you can find them almost in any state, can't you?
They are in every state except Alaska.
Okay.
Bass are a hardy fish that, you know, we have live wells, and a bass boat has live wells in it where you can put the bass into a live well, and you can pump water through there, and the bass will stay healthy throughout the day. You know, and then we bring the fish up to the stage and weigh them in. If you're a trout guy, if you throw them into a live well, even if you pump water, the fish are generally going to die. Most of the other species will die. You know, and bass fishing is a game because they're a structure-oriented ambush predator.
Okay.
So you're going to throw things at them, and these fish are basically, they don't have hands. You know, all they have is a mouth, so they can't come out and feel it. You know,
yeah.
They got to come out and bite it. So you catch them, and
yeah.
You know, it's just great fun.
Well, I'm not a bass angler, but I do know if you get the twitest little hint or a twitch, set the hook because you know they don't go up and swallow it and run with it. You know, you gotta grab them real quick.
Exactly. But, they don't feel it.
Okay.
They just eat it.
And sometimes you can just be patrolling along and you catch a bass too.
Exactly.
Okay. But I know that that Grizz has done a lot of bass fishing, and we've talked before about bass fishing in Mexico, but right now we've got Mark that recommends either shallow or deep, and we've only got about 30 seconds or so. Bait or lures or flies?
Baits this time. You know, artificial baits is the best way to catch them this time of year.
Okay.
You can use, you can use bait, but artificials, if fish have a high metabolism, they're out, they're out chasing, they're eating, so it's a lot more fun that way.
Okay. Well, let's get out there and do it. It's that time of the year, isn't it? This is looking forward to the summer and all that great fishing, all the opportunities, and, try and get the kids in the car because before you know it, they're not going to be want to hang around their parents. They got their own friends that they want to hang around with. So get them out there and get them used to it.
Exactly.
Of course, Grizz has the perfect opportunity to fish with his son because his partner's on the television show with him.
That's right, John.
Put him to work.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess there's bass in different parts of Mexico. We know in mainland, but I don't know about the.
We don't have any bass out here in the peninsula.
Okay. Okay, well, we are going to go to a break here in just a minute, and we're going to come back and see if we can get Tom Matouche on the line with us, and we also, hopefully, the Grizz is hanging in there with us. So let's go ahead and find out what's happening with Tom Matouche. Tom? Okay. Go ahead, Tom.
Good morning.
Hey, there you are. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Whatever it is, it's happy to have you on, Tom.
There you go.
What's going on, brother?
Okay.
Beat up.
Go ahead and tell us about
what we're doing. It's like the wind and the waves and the sea and the chop are the big story up here. We've got the biggest salmon year we've seen probably since 2004. And taking the people out, it's just creaming them, getting to the fishing ground.
Yeah, you mentioned something about that you were hurting. I go, from what? He goes, from driving the boat.
Yeah, you get beat up, it hurts. I know that. That how that happens.
Yeah. Well, you're a little bit south of San Francisco, and you're known to have some weather up there and some wind, and normally that doesn't bother you, but sometimes it bothers the passengers a little bit.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, just clear through Sunday, it looks like carbon copy weather forecast, 15 to 25, wind waves 4 to 7.
Yeah.
7-foot wind waves, when that gets in step with the swell and you see that 14-foot wave coming at you, makes me have some pause, too.
Well, how big is the hooli cat that you go fishing on?
Well, the hooli
Okay.
Are you there?
Well, yeah, no, it's our phone system. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. The hooli cat's 53 feet long, and when I see one of those 14-foot waves, I'm up pretty high in the wheelhouse, and I see this monster wave rolling at me, and it's like you see no sky.
Okay.
Water.
Right. Go ahead. Tommy, still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
That's scary, isn't it?
Right.
Oh,
right.
It can be, especially.
Yeah, I don't like those kind. Now, that's really getting beat up and pushed around by those kind of waves.
Okay.
Well, the salmon forecast, too. It's like Saturday. You want to take everybody out on a weekend and show them a good time. We've got big fish. I mean, this is so rewarding. But what's the forecast for Saturday in the salmon zone? 20 to 30.
Okay. Now, let's talk about salmon real quick. As you mentioned, it's one of the best years that you've seen for quite some time. Weather's not cooperating, but when you're getting out there, you're doing real well.
I'm telling you, just marvelous fishing and marvelous size fish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the size limit on the fish is still 24 inches, and it's pretty rare that we get a fish that we have to measure. Mm-hmm. These things are beauties, I'd say like 14 to 20 pounds. The biggest that's been caught that I've heard of this season is a 38. We've
Whoa.
Had some up in the high 20s. So people are really going home with some nice sacks. It's so nice when somebody says, no, I need another bag.
Because you got to
hold two fish.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. And, Tom, those salmon, obviously they're going to return and go into fresh water. Where do they go that up where you're at?
Majority of the fish are going to swim through the Golden Gate and go up into the Sacramento River drainage system.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have Klamath fish occasionally. There's a lot of different runs of fish. But the things that go up through that Sacramento River are going to hook up with the Feather, all those different tributaries. But they all have to access through the Golden Gate eventually.
Okay. And we talked a little bit about when you're fishing for salmon, it's a little bit different than fishing in Baja where Grizz is, because the water down there is a blue water. It's warm and it is clear. But what you're looking for salmon is just the opposite, right?
Are you trying to rub it in?
I wasn't thinking about that, but yeah.
What we want is the cooler water. So 51 is a little on the cool side. 52, 53, the salmon love that. Some of our listeners may know what terrapin is, and you can get terrapin shots that show temperature. You can get terrapin shots that show you the amount of chlorophyll in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas in your great tuna fishing, you want almost nothing. You want that gin clear water. On salmon, it's the opposite. You get something that looks like cream and coffee. Boy, I'll tell you what, that and a few birds, and the skipper's heart gets pumping real good. You okay. find the birds, you see some bait on the meter. You can't wait to put them in and see what we can get going salmon-wise for the customers.
Okay, perfect. Now, we are going to have to go to a quick break, Tom, so we appreciate you coming in and joining us. But give us a quick information on how to get fish with you on a Huli Cat.
Website is hulicat.com, HuliCat.com, or just call 650-726-2926.
Okay, and also, as we know, Tom, any time of the year, there's something out there that he's fishing for. So if the wind's not, you know, blowing too high, he'll take you out and you'll have a good time. So get in touch with Tom if you want to get out and you're in that area. We appreciate that, Tom.
Open now.
There you go. There's something out there. Okay. All right. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, and we're going to be back with you in just a couple minutes.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolfish, bullfish.
Hey, this is Fish Talk Radio, and we're talking to the Grizz. We were trying to get in touch with East Cape, but I guess Eddie's down at the docks trying to get the boats going. So, Grizz, why don't we see if we can help the van warmers at Palmas de Cortez out a little bit, and maybe you and I can talk about what it is down there. First of all, we do have a fishing trip November 3rd Palmas de Cortez, and we've still got a, we got a couple more rooms that Eddie opened up for us. So we, and it's a screaming deal. It's like $600, something like that, for 4 nights. So get into, go to fishtalkradio.com, or of course you can go to the asobonline.com and find Fish Talk Radio. Right now we're going to get a lake report, and I believe we have, is it Patrick up at Shasta Lake? Patrick?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, cool. Well, it's summertime.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And in the lake, tell us, I know that it's been pretty dry. Is there any water in the lake?
Yeah, there's still a lot left, although it's down about 70 feet right now. There's still a lot of water left.
Okay. Down about 7, there's a lot of water left. So I guess that means the fish are being concentrated.
Oh, yeah, there's less water for them to swim in.
Right. And Shasta, first of all, the area is absolutely beautiful. You know, it's just right up from Redding, and it's in the, you know, middle of the mountains and forest, and once you get up there, the air feels different, it smells different. And if anybody's looking for a destination, if they're in their SUV or minivan or whatever they've got and taken off on vacation and you're not really sure where you're going, I'd definitely stop by there.
Yeah, just head up to us at Shasta Recreation Company, and we got all the campgrounds around Shasta Lake.
Mm-hmm. And even if someone just shows up, without their camping gear.
Yeah, there's some places available where you could just even go fishing for the day, go swimming, go out on the lake, just relax.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the marina there, you've got everything that they need, especially the boats. You got some great boats there. If you want to just go out and have some fun, they got some speed boats. You go water skiing. They got perfect boats for fishing. And Shasta is a big lake, so you can spend some time out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of different options.
Mm-hmm. And the variety of fishing in there, too, is pretty good, too. What all do you have that you see coming in off the docks?
Well, a lot of what we see is trout. We got rainbow trout, brown trout, and then a lot of bass, big mouth, spotted, smallmouth bass. But sometimes you can find yourself catching bluegill, carpy, blackfish.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Shasta is they've got all these little inlets and coves where if you want to just go off, there's a good chance you can find a great spot and there's nobody else there.
Yeah, there's 4 arms that come into the Shasta Lake that you can go up.
Okay. Well, why don't we get some contact information from you? I know that you can go to fishtalkradio.com, and I believe there's a website posted on that under Friends for Shasta Lake. But tell us what that website is.
All right, so you can go to ShastaTrinityLakes.com and find us, or you can even call the office at 530-275-8113, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have about fishing or camping.
Well, Patrick, I know this is a very busy time of the year for you right now, so we're going to let you get back to the phones and get those boats in the water. And as I said, even if you don't have any rods, reels, tackle, bait, or even a boat, go on up there, and maybe Patrick will be there, and he'll take care of you.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Hey, great job for the first time on the radio, Patrick.
Thank you.
All righty. Get back to work. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, later.
All right. Okay. Grizz, anyway, we started talking to you about East Cape. Let's go ahead. You mentioned Cabo San Lucas and what's happening there, where all of a sudden it turned back on again. East Cape, is that still happening?
Oh, East Cape, you can't go wrong, man. I don't know what's happened there, but it's just incredible. I mean, you can catch striped marlin all day long, big Dorado, 30, 40-foot Dorado. I'll be fishing a tournament this next month down there. The 20th is a Dorado shootout, and we'll be down there filming it, and actually I'll be fishing it. I'll be fishing it in Suzuki's name and Eagle Claw name. I'll be on the tournament, Charlie and I. But I'll tell you another thing right now. It's an awesome year for giant rooster fish. I mean, we're talking about fish. It's not uncommon to catch 60, 70-pound rooster fish now. It's, they're just everywhere, it seems like, close to the shore. And the best way to catch them right now is with ladyfish. Mm-hmm. Imagine this, a 2 to 3-pound ladyfish put a 2004 10-aught circle hook in its mouth and just throw it along behind your boat. And I guarantee you, you will get a rooster over 50 pounds.
Whoa.
I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Charles and I were out last weekend, and if you go to my Facebook, you can see one I caught. Wasn't that big, right around 35, 40 pounds. I lost two really big ones, but you can see what's happening. It's really great.
Okay. Grizz, real quickly about that technique that you're talking about. Ladyfish, when you're fishing down there, are considered junk fish. They're, you know, on light tackle, they're a lot of fun. But nobody wants to go catch ladyfish. And, you know, a three-pound ladyfish is probably, what, 2 feet long?
Yeah, exactly, John. Well, you know, that's a weird thing about it. You know, in Florida, a lot of fly fishermen and light tackle fishermen fish for ladyfish. They actually call them small tarpon. And even over here, they call them sabalos, which means tarpon in English, because they'll jump 6 feet out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're absolutely a game fish in a lot of places.
Right.
It's too bad that people put... they're a trash fish, because that's not true. I mean, they're a real nice, gamey fish. You don't eat them because they're just full of bones.
It's like a snake, yeah. Well, the reason I think for that is that if you put your line in the water and you're using live bait and you're trying to get Dorado or, you know, maybe even some Pargo, and there's a school of ladyfish around, that's all you're going to catch. So people get... you know, they go out there and they start getting bit. They just move. But,
well, the thing of it is, first of all, anybody that's fishing for Dorado, where the ladyfish are really confused.
Yeah.
Because ladyfish are right up against
close,
the bank or the beach in rocks. And sure, there's Dorado that wander in there, but it's not Dorado water where they hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they get mad because they're catching ladyfish, they should move, because they're in the wrong place to fish anyway.
Okay. Well, gee, after all these years, I finally figured that out, huh?
Yeah, they shouldn't be fishing Dorado where the ladyfish are. I mean, I don't know why.
Well, sometimes they'll get a little farther off where the Dorado are, but you're talking, you know, but Pargo and the rest of them, they can be kind of a pain. But you're right. If you want to go down there with a fly rod and have a lot of fun, they're great for that. But anyway, let's get back to the roosters real quick before we lose that, is that the rooster fish, you know, they love the flat, calm, clear, shallow water. And you can see those things if you've got a live bait in the water. You see that comb up on top of the water, and it's kind of like a, you know, a torpedo chasing something where it just kind
like
of
jaws, John.
Yeah.
You know, dun 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 dun.
Oh yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
When you use those ladyfish and that big rooster comes up underneath it, that ladyfish will jump 3 feet in the air trying to get away from it.
Yeah.
And then, they, like you said, the big cone comes up. Why they're called the rooster fish comes up behind them, that dorsal, and they chase them. And I mean, you're sitting there, your heart's ready to beat out of your chest. It's just awesome.
It is a lot of fun. And they, like the billfish, or in particular the marlin and swordfish, you don't want to kill them. They're a lot of fun to catch. They're not that good to eat anyway. And, you know, if we leave them there, because they tend to be territorial, you know, if you go in there and take them, then they're gone. So you don't want to do that.
Well, that's what people's got to open up their eyes. You know, I seen a lot of people last weekend, and they were killing them. I mean, these Americans come, and that's, you know, the number one problem we have is the Americans that come down here and want to kill everything. Why? I don't know. They're going to cut it up, make a fillet, take it home. They're going to try to eat it, then they're going to throw the whole thing away.
And they are beautiful. And that,
oh, they are.
There's some kind of a strange-looking fish in the waters down there that are kind of hard to describe, because they don't look like the, you know, the typical, oblong fish with fins on it, because they, you know, they got that beautiful comb and they're spotted and just a lot of fun. And, you know, the Dorado are pretty strange looking, but they're beautiful because of the colors and all the things that they change. So anyway, let's get back real quickly. We were talking, of course, about the East Cape area. And of course, there's a lot more than just rooster fish down there right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some real nice sailfish going on. Like I said, a lot of striped marlin in the area. Dorados aren't in schools. There's big bulls, which, you know, the listeners should know that a bull is a big male Dorado. It's a little bit different. The head is more blunt. And you'll find them kind of hanging out by themselves right now. Mm-hmm. But good fish. I mean, there was one 56 pounds caught yesterday. So it's really good fishing down here. You just don't know what you're going to pull up.
Okay. Well, we're almost out of time, but I will mention again that the Palmas de Cortez, if you're interested in going fishing, it's incredible. But if you want to take your significant other along and she's not all that interested in fishing, there's really no reason she can't go. The Palmas de Cortez is beautiful, you know, and the Palmas, Playa del Sol right next door is great. So if you're interested in going down there November 3rd and getting in on a great, great package, get in touch with me. And we might even get the Grizz to show up and put you on television. Who knows?
Yeah, well, you know that's possible.
Okay. Well, Grizz, we really appreciate you coming around, and we're going to finish up this segment. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and what a great time to go fishing. Well, I'll talk to you real soon.